And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. It's Chuck Hooten and Shoreline Worship bring us in this rainy Tuesday afternoon. Again, if you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, you can at investinghope.com. You can read our blog. You can listen to this podcast there as well. You can find it on iTunes. Also, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media places that are out there. You can look us up and learn more about what we are doing at Hope Resource Center and how you can partner and work alongside of us. Today, as always, and oftentimes anyway, we have a guest. And so today's guest is Tommy Jones, a really good friend of mine who is calling from the great state of Colorado. And we're going to talk about World Orphans. And so here on this show, what we do is we talk a lot of times about the pro-life ethic and what that means. And it's not just the abortion issue. It is so much more than that. So it does include adoption, foster care, doctor-assisted suicide. What does that mean for the Christian? And it also includes, of course, orphan care that is occurring all across this country and, of course, across the globe. So, Tommy, thank you so much for joining me.
Andrew, how are you?
Good man. You know, it is so good to hear your voice, Tommy Jones.
I always knew you had a good voice for radio, so now it's paying off.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so Tommy is like I said, we are what the kids call BFFs. And so so glad that Tommy took the time out in Colorado. I'm not good with time, but I think it's like, what is it, like 2 o'clock in the morning in Colorado right now?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
No, it's 3 o'clock here. It's the afternoon. Wife is out picking kids up from school. So, yeah.
Awesome,
a couple hours behind you guys.
Awesome. So I know I always pick at you. Every time I text or call, I'm always acting like the time change is major. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. So Tommy Jones working with World Orphans now, that is doing a lot of great work. So Tommy, like I was saying, you know, we oftentimes will look at the pro-life ethic from a standpoint of abortion is wrong and we need to stand in opposition to abortion. That is certainly true. But being pro-life means so much more than voting. It means so much more than Supreme Court. It means so much more than abortion. It means truly saying that life has value and image bearers deserve our love, value, and respect. So first off, before we get into kind of the work that World Orphans is doing, I think it's important to put it in context and say, okay, how do we define, how does World Orphans define an orphan? Because I know there's some different definitions. So let's start there. How do you define what an orphan is?
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew. I think you know, when we look at the issue of orphans, and obviously with our name, it's fairly obvious we're looking worldwide, right? World Orphans.
Sure.
And some of the more recent statistics that we have about orphans worldwide is that there's a couple of ways you have to look at it. Estimated globally, we have about 153 million orphans. But then we narrow that down to about 17 million orphans, what we would call double orphans. And so there's a place in there, a large space, a large group of kids that are either they have a single parent, they have some sort of a family structure, but they're considered orphans. Either they've lost a parent or they have parents that aren't able to care for them completely, those sorts of situations. And so the orphan issue globally is a little more complex than we often think about it. I know, especially in America, at least I had the viewpoint that, hey, there's orphans out there and we can bring them home and we can adopt them and we can get them into really great families here in the U.S. And in a lot of circumstances, we can. We have about 1 million orphans globally that are adoptable, and so we want to take care of those kids. We love to see families going to bring kids and bring them into their home, and that's an amazing picture of the gospel. But World Orphans, we look and we go, well, we have kids that are in family structures. They're living with extended family or they're living with a single parent. How do we keep those kids in those family units? How do we keep them in those home environments? Because those are the best places for kids, right? Those are where kids thrive the most, is when they can be with a family structure, with a family unit, with some sort of relative. And so that's how we think of orphans when we look at it globally. And at World Orphans, we really focus on those kids that maybe they're not true orphans and what you would say is double orphans, but they are in vulnerable situations. And that's really a key word. Are the children in vulnerable situations? Are the parents or their families vulnerable for any number of reasons? And how can the church come alongside them and support them and equip them?
And that's a good place to continue there. So how can the church, and I know that World Orphans' main focus is equipping the church. So local church is very important in this work. Why is that the model that World Orphans has chosen to kind of deal with the issue that we are seeing globally? So why is the answer, hey, the local church, let's equip the local church, let's connect churches in this country with churches around the world to serve and love on these families and ideally help these children stay in their homes with families and not in orphanages?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest answer for why focus on it happening with the local church is that's the task that that Christ has given to the church, you know, and that was something that has been kind of my personal journey and my personal process is going, well, when we look at Scripture over and over again, God is concerned with people on the margins, with the vulnerable, whether it's orphans or whether it's the poor or the widow, and he's given it to the church to reach out and go towards those people on the margins. And so that would be my simple answer that we could go more in depth into. But on top of that, I think that one of the things I love about World Orphans is that when we look at churches around the globe, just like the church here in the U.S. deals with whatever situation is confronting our society or our community, globally, churches are doing that as well. So if you have a church in a country, in an area where vulnerable families and orphans is a big issue, then the church is going to go and do that work, and we need to come alongside and support them. And so for us, it's connecting churches, it's connecting U.S. churches to those international churches that are already on the front lines. They're already doing this work. They're going to do this work whether we come alongside of them or not. It's just a matter of us going and saying, how can we equip you? How can we empower you? How can we resource you to reach these people? Because that's what the church does. The church goes and reaches people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these churches in places like Haiti and Guatemala or Ethiopia are doing that, and we're simply saying, how can we come alongside of you? How can we support you?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that's what para-church organizations are meant to do. And so we're not meant to reinvent the wheel. Scripture,
absolutely.
Scripture tells us to take care of the widows, to take care of the orphans, to be there for our brothers and sisters. And so as we look at the gospel issue, that is, nonprofits, and I've said this a number of times, we are not the bride, right? The local church, the church is the bride of Christ. And so nonprofits come alongside and help where we can, but let's not get our wires crossed and act as if that, you know, the nonprofits is what Jesus went to the cross for. And so he went to the cross for people, certainly. And so for us, it's the same thing with Hope Resource Center. We look to work with the local church and say, how can we impact the city? How can we impact the country? How can we impact the globe? And so also with World Orphans, you are working with, you're doing some refugee work. And we've seen with the war in Iraq and with ISIS kind of making their way across different areas, we've seen in the last year or so kind of a refugee crisis. And even to the point where now our country is kind of saying, okay, what do we need to do? Do we open up the doors? Do we not open up the doors? Do we how do we vet? How do we do these things? But in my estimation, okay, let the government decide on some of those things. But we as Christians need to be looking and saying, How can we assist? How can we help? If we have refugees in this country, what are we doing for them? If there are refugees around the globe that we can help get to a better place, what are we doing for them? So what is World Orphans doing with the refugee crisis that we now see because of war and other things are happening around the globe?
Yeah, that's one of our really, really cool projects. And it's a little unique. It's outside of some of the things we normally do in terms of really focusing on that home and family-based care, except that we still do work with families. It's just that what we're calling our project in Iraq is called the Refuge Initiative. You can find it online and find out all kinds of things about it, but really neat stuff about getting refugee families, families in crisis, families that are essentially homeless and have lost everything because of the conflict going on there in Iraq with ISIS, that we go and we're housing them, we're building homes, we're developing places for them to live. And so, again, I think that goes back to what you've been saying about the idea of a life ethic. You know, when you were talking about that earlier, to me, the first thing that popped into my head when we think about life ethic being so much more than just it begins with the abortion issue, and it begins with the right to life. But then the words that just keep popping in my head when I think about that is Jesus' words, that he has come to give us abundant life, mm-hmm. Which is just amazing. And when we really think about that, what does that mean? What does it mean for us to have this full life that Jesus mm-hmm. Has given us? It extends all the way to things like homeless families, refugees in Iraq with our Refuge Initiative, who part of having a full and abundant life is having a home where a family can care for their own. So, that's one of my favorite projects that we do.
And as the church and as Christians, if we believe the Bible to be true, which we should, we believe the gospel to be the greatest news the earth has ever seen, and it's not just life transforming, but it's life saving, and the gospel doesn't just make a bad guy a good guy; it makes a dead man alive. And I mean, those are huge, huge things that we don't need to neglect. And so, if you believe that to be true, it should motivate you. It should move you to then say,
"Absolutely,
my neighbor matters to me." And I need to do something about it.
Absolutely. And just even in those words, I mean, you're talking about people that, if you're going to say make the dead man alive, these are people who literally have no hope for life. Whether we're talking about those in pregnancy crisis and those babies that are just wanting the right to be born,
sure.
Or whether we're talking about orphans, or whether we're talking about homeless refugees, we're talking about people who are simply fighting for existence, for a right to be alive. And this is just a tangible description, a demonstration of the gospel, that it makes dead people alive. And that we're simply trying to give people that right to live that is most basic.
And it's a beautiful journey that we get an opportunity to go down. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back, Tommy. I want to start with kind of looking at the home-based holistic care model of World Orphans. We'll start there when we get back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center, joined today by Tommy Jones of World Orphans, as we talk about the life issue. And folks, if you've listened to this show at all, you know that when I talk about the life issue, that certainly means in the womb, but it also means from the womb to the tomb. So it does incorporate all of our conversations when we talk about the right to life, the issue of life. And so today what I wanted to do was kind of highlight a nonprofit that's doing work both here in the country and globally with orphans. And so, Tommy, the kind of the model that is used through World Orphans is a home-based and a holistic care model. So walk us through the importance of the home-based and holistic care model.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the home-based care, that term can sometimes be a little misleading. When we talk about orphans, I think we tend to think just automatically an orphan home, or what we, an institutional setting. World Orphans some years back really made a shift from focusing on children in institutional settings to working to keep those orphans and those children in whatever family home structure is available to them. And so what we're looking at is, do we have vulnerable children and vulnerable families where it could be extended family that's having to care for them, or it could be parents that or a single parent that has too many mouths to feed, or even just a few that they just don't have the resources to take care of their children. The church there, the local church, and World Orphans coming in and alongside of them to empower, to equip them to keep those kids in that family structure, because that's where those kids are going to succeed. That's where those kids are going to do the best and are going to thrive. And so that's the idea with home-based care and the model that we have. We say that it's holistic care. We're interested in taking care of the whole child and really the whole family. So physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, how can we come alongside of the church and come alongside of these families that are vulnerable and in crisis, to support them, to see these children provided for in all of these ways.
Yeah, and I think at times when we talk about ideal circumstances, I think some people hear that and they go, "Oh, you're just shaming single parent family homes," and that's not what we're doing at all. What we're saying is, I've had these conversations too, and I think if we're honest, I think our states and our country needs to have this conversation. And so what is the ideal situation for that child? Ideally, they would be in a home with a mom and with a dad who are married. That's the ideal situation. That's just looking at statistics and looking at data point after data point after data point. Kids that grow up in those family structures are less likely to go to jail, less likely to be in poverty, less likely to drop out of school, and the list goes on and on. And so second from that, ideally, they would grow up in a home with at least one parent. And then the list goes on. So if not one parent, maybe somebody within their family. Then you can get on and talk double about, double orphans or and as we look at that.
Yeah.
So when we talk about ideals, it's not hey, we're trying to force some kind of belief system necessarily on these families. It's saying, look, we want what's best for the child. And here is what we've seen, not just from a gospel standpoint, but from statistics and data points, that this is the best situation for that child. It's not saying that orphanages are in intrinsically bad. It's saying that if we could at all help them and equip churches to help these families raise these children in a home-based model, then I think the numbers will back that up, right?
Yeah, and especially when you start looking globally, you start looking at other different differences in societally, culturally. It gets so much more complex, I think, than a lot of times.
Wait, are you telling me that the American culture is not the culture everywhere? Is that breaking
research,
news?
Research indicates that, yeah. But, one of the things that this really grew out of was realizing that we were seeing in institutional settings, we were seeing vulnerable people, vulnerable families, parents who weren't able to care for their children. They were just dropping off their children at the home, where at the institutional home where they knew their kids would get cared for, and then they would make regular visits and they would come back and they would check on their kids. And there, when you start to see something like that, you have to kind of have a check that says, wait, time out,
right?
What would be better than this, right? And that's one of the situations, that's one of the things that kind of World Orphans and the people on the ground there realized was, it would be better if we could just come alongside of whatever family unit this child had to equip them, to empower them, to resource them. And so it takes on a lot of different projects that we have going on depending on the needs of that community and what's going on there. But however we can resource that community to care for its own children, that is what we want to see. That is going to be the best place for those children and for the family, for the parents as well, right? I mean, nobody wants to be that person who can't care for their own. I think we all can identify somewhat with just the pain and the difficulty of even having to wrestle with that situation, that decision. So
and the important thing for Christians to know when they hear this and when they see the work that's being done, and the same thing with even the pregnancy center work being done around the country, what we have to understand is if we are not in the driver's seat as gospel-believing Christians, if we're not in the driver's seat when it comes to the life issue, when it comes to orphan care, when it comes to widow care, when it comes to walking alongside that single-parent home, if we're not in the driver's seat of that, then someone else is going to pick up the reins and do it. And they may not point it to the right direction. They may see it as an opportunity to make money. They may see it as an opportunity to do a number of things. And what I'm reminded of is as we look in Texas at the terrible, you know, flood and hurricane that's hit Texas and another hurricane coming that may hit Florida in the next day or so. And what we know without a doubt is there are disaster relief organizations in Texas right now. There are thousands upon thousands of Christians that are leading in that movement and are saying, look, there's a storm. We're going to go in and we're going to assist where we can. Look, within the struggle, we still have the gospel. And the folks in Texas are my neighbor. And so if we believe that to be true, then that means the folks in Cambodia are my neighbor. The folks in China, Ethiopia, you know, and all of these other places where we need to be stepping up and saying, look, there's an issue that we don't, maybe we do need to adopt some of these kids, and that's great.
Right.
But maybe we can help a family that's already there to better take care of the child, and that child would grow up in a structure, in a family structure that in that particular situation is more ideal than, say, an institution or just picking them up and bringing them to the great land of America. You know, those are conversations that we have to be willing to address and willing to have. And I think sometimes our heart gets out in front of us and we say, well, my heart tells me to do this, but maybe that, you know, just maybe, I know this may shock some people, at times your heart is not in the right place and is telling you the wrong thing to do. And so we need to get back to what the gospel is telling us. And that's why it's great to know what World Orphans is doing. We're going to take another break here in a second. When we come back, what I want to do is talk about some of the specific locations where you're working. And I want to go through, I have a list of the places around the globe and then how y'all have listed on your website.
All right.
The amount of orphans that you have or that you think are there and then go from there and discuss why those numbers should, if not keep us up at night, they should certainly enter in our prayer time, our quiet time when we're having that with the Lord. So we'll be back in a sec. Thanks for joining us, Tommy. So what I wanted to shift into...
Hey, can we get some of that rain? Some of that rain out here?
You're more than welcome, man. We are... You know my yard well. I live in Tommy's old house, if you're wondering. And so you can come back and mow. That'd be great. And some of the rain could go with you. That'd be even better. So as we're looking at the work that y'all are doing, I was preparing for our discussion and looking through just some of the numbers. And so I want to read off just some of the numbers that I have in front of me, and then let's discuss it from there. So Cambodia, 553,000 orphans. China, 576,000 orphans. Ethiopia, 6 million. Haiti, 750,000, largely due to the earthquake from a few years back.
Yeah.
China, I've already said China. Guatemala, 370,000 orphans. India, 20 million orphans. Iraq, 5 million. Kenya, 2.5 million. And the list goes on. South Africa, 3.9 million. And so there's a number of reasons for this. That, you know, it could be AIDS, sex trafficking, one-child law like in China, child labor, poverty, natural disasters, prostitution, war. So as we look at those numbers, now some could look at those numbers and go, okay, that those numbers are overwhelming. And so so help us as Christians and as people that care deeply about our neighbor, how can we look at those numbers and still say, but yet we need to take a step forward and not let the vastness of those numbers make us sink in and not do anything.
Right. You know, Andrew, it's so easy, too. I confess, like, it's so easy to get paralyzed just by, like you said, just by the huge numbers. You know, the thing that stuck out to me there as you were reading that off isn't even the numbers. It's the factors, it's the causes of those things, and those are the things that I think have to compel us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, just to take that to step forward. Say, I got to do something. It's not for us to have to save the world. That's God's business, and that's His restoring and His redeeming. Through that he's going to do, but it's for us to step into those factors, I think. That's, every single one of those is simply just the reality, the brokenness of our world, the reality, the consequences of sin, and those things are heart-wrenching and heartbreaking for anybody. But as believers and as Christians, I think we have to look at maybe not even the numbers, but look at the causes, and look at then the faces, and I say, even if it's just one, even if it's just one kid, even if it's just one family, that because I take a step out, because I take a step forward, because I don't buy as much Starbucks this week, and instead I make a contribution, it's going to have an impact that is going to break the cycle of sin, of poverty, of death and brokenness in our world, and it's instead going to set a new course for a life that is about the gospel and is about moving into the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is bringing to earth. And so I think it's got to be, we can't let the numbers paralyze us.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not about us reaching millions and millions. It's about us stepping into the brokenness and being willing to just do what we can for the one, you know?
Yeah, and this past week I was in Washington, D.C. That's the nation's capital, if you're not familiar, Tommy. And so I was there, and as we were, the first day I got there, I had some time, and so I was by myself. I was there for a conference, and so I thought, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the Holocaust Museum. And if you have not visited the Holocaust Museum, it is absolutely the only word, as soon as I finished, the only word that kept popping to my head was brutal. It is absolutely brutal. And but it's necessary. It's a necessary brutal that I had to see and had to walk through and had to experience. And and so in part of the museum, there's a number of things that are just have a huge impact if you are honest about the destruction that was caused not too long ago. That's the part that really floored me, was not too long ago that happened on our planet. But as they have one exhibit, and it's just a wall honoring those that chose to stand and assist Jewish people. Now, some of the people that stood were Jewish. Some of them, many of them, were not. Many of them simply said, "This isn't okay, and I'm going to do whatever I can." And it was it was just your regular old Joes that did. It was government officials. Yeah. It was law enforcement. It was kids. It was, I mean, the list goes on and on. And I read through all of those, and then it listed how many people they were able to save. And that, you know, one person might have been able to help save 20 people. But when you when you kind of expand out from that, you saw, you know, 100 people that actually saved thousands and hundreds of thousands. And just the impact that they had. And so I had this conversation with my wife. I've had this conversation with a number of people. And as we, as Christians, it's easy to say those numbers are overwhelming. There's nothing I can do. I'm just poor, pitiful me. But if we look and say, there is an impact to be made. And again, if Scripture tells us to love your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. And second, like it, is to love your neighbor. Then that means that these folks, those numbers that I read off just a little bit ago, are our neighbors. Those are people that were made in the image of God that have value and that deserve us to do something. Now, that something may mean we give to World Orphans. That something may mean we give to Hope Resource Center. That something may mean we partner with a local church. That it may mean we go over to those areas. But what I would challenge Christians to do is, what is that something? Kevin DeYoung has a great book called Just Do Something. And the whole point of his book is, you know, we can sit around all we want and say, well, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to kind of see where the Lord leads in that. And what he's saying is, look, you don't have to pray about it. The Lord told us this is what we needed to do. Go and make disciples. Go help the widow. Go help the orphan. He's already told us to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
So why that's sit around and wonder if we should? No, you should. Just do it. And so... go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one of the things that we often do is we try to already go to, well, should I leave and go one of these places? Well, you know, like we go to the extreme. And what I would just encourage people to do is just, man, whatever the simplest step is, do that. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Because invariably, as we step into those things, it's going to lead to something else, you know. Starting to work with World Orphans isn't the first step I've made into engaging this. You know, it starts with just a small contribution, or it starts with those little steps. You don't have to go all the way. You take the opportunity, the small opportunity that's presented right in front of you, and see where the Lord leads that and leads your heart into going deeper into these issues. I think that's really important to realize, is sometimes it's the small step that we have to take first. In fact, it usually is.
and what comes from that too, you know, is, you know, you have a home full of kids and I have a home full of kids. And so what our kids do is they watch those things too. And so when, you know, I was talking to my son on the way to church Sunday, and I said, he was talking about he's saving money. And I said, well, what are you going to do with that money? And he said, I'm going to put it in a bottle and give it to Hope Resource Center. Now, I don't say that to go look at my son, who is so much more spiritual than everybody else, because he then hit his sister. You know, I mean, he's doing things that absolutely are not spiritual. Trust me. So, the thought process there is he's doing what daddy does, really. You know, so he's looking and watching, okay, are we a giving people or are we a blessing ourself people? Not that there's anything wrong with blessing yourself and having nice things and all that, but how are we raising our kids up? Are we teaching them to love their neighbor? Are we teaching them to care about the orphan? And so I think there's so many important things in that. So Tommy, as people are hearing this, and as the millions of people that will hear this podcast, how best can people learn more about the work that is being done at World Orphans? How can they support you? How can they partner with you? We have about a minute and a half left. So where would you point them, the best place to go?
Yeah, what I would say is jump on the website. That's going to be the place where you're going to find the most information. It's just worldorphans.org. And it has got pretty much all the things that we've covered today are on that website, plus a lot more, just opportunities to get involved. Whether it's a small donation, whether it's saying, I want my church to know about this, you know, that's the work that I do. That's the work that we focus on, is how can we partner U.S. churches with those international churches in a church-to-church partnership where back and forth we're sharing, we're learning, we're involved in this work together. And so go to the website, look through it. You can, there's really easy click to donate now tabs. There's tabs where you can explore all the places that we have partnerships. And just consider what the Lord might be leading you to do. That'll be the best place to start. You can find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all of the social media places. If there's ways that I can answer questions, my handle is usually like on Twitter, Oki Aggie Jones. That'll give you a little more insight into where I'm from and who I am anyhow. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah,
big game this past weekend.
That's the easiest way.
Yeah, that's right.
So you could just take our game and throw it in that trash can you guys have on the side.
I don't want to hear it, man. We're not getting into football. That's just not even not even go there. So, Tommy, thanks so much for joining me, man. It really is always a blessing to catch up and have a conversation with you about gospel stuff, man, and proud of what you're doing in Colorado. And if there's anything we can do on this end of the country, the great end of the country, let us know, okay?
Andrew, thanks so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, that's
thanks,
Tommy
brother.
Jones with World Orphans. We'll be back in a sec. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you for listening today. Learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, all of those places. A lot of things happening at Hope Resource Center, but I did want to talk today to Tommy with World Orphans because, again, as we look at the work being done in this country and around the globe and within the local church, and we claim to be pro-life, we all have to look in the mirror and say, okay, what does that truly mean? What is pro-life? What is my pro-lifeness? And does it include babies in the womb? And does it include fighting against abortion? Absolutely. But does it also include standing with the orphan? Does it also include equipping families to better raise and better serve the children? Is it saying that, hey, I'm going to partner with World Orphans? Is it saying I'm going to partner with Hope Resource Center and other organizations and churches around the globe that are doing this work? Those are all questions that we have to answer for ourselves. And so I'm not sure what that looks like for you. But what I do know is if you claim to be a Christian, then that we've been called to stand with the vulnerable. We've been called to love the vulnerable. And so that includes a lot of things. And we hear a lot of talk these days about social justice and social justice warriors. And we, at times, that it takes on a negative connotation. And I understand that. But there is also an aspect of that as Christians that we should care deeply about the social justice issues of our day. And that certainly includes the unborn, but it certainly includes the orphan as well. And so if you want to learn more about World Orphans, you can do that, worldorphans.org. I would recommend going to the website, learning more about them. You can partner with Tommy as well through that, and just look and see what that means for your family, what that means for maybe your church. Maybe you're a pastor listening to this and saying, man, our church would love to partner and connect with a church around the globe to better serve the orphans there. And so connect with World Orphans. They can get you set up there. So a couple things I want to touch on before we finish up. Today's show is this week we are having baby showers at Hope Resource Center. We thank you for your support. If you want to help us with baby showers and maybe you say, I'd love to help make sure that your patients receive the items that they need, then you can go to our website, investinghope.com, click the donate button. It's the first thing you're going to see, the donate button, and give and help us provide for these patients. We would certainly appreciate that. We also have a pastor's breakfast coming up on September 14th. It's going to be a great time at Bridgewater Place and just a fun time for pastors to connect. It's going to be a conversation between me, Jason Hayes, the pastor of Shoreline, and Chad Sparks, the pastor of Providence, just talking about the engagement of the local church at Hope Resource Center and in the life issue. So it's going to be a great time. If you are a pastor and you have not signed up for that, please email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com, and I'd love to have that conversation with you. Would love to see you there, and looking forward to that. We also have a golf tournament coming up September 25th at Gettysview. That's always a fun time. First off, I would ask that you pray for good weather and not weather like we have today. Second, I would say if you play golf, sign your team up. Get a team together. Come play golf with us on September 25th. It's going to be a fun time. Had a conversation today with a church, and I'm hoping that in the next week or so, I'll be able to tell you what's coming up in October. But I'm going to save that for a future date because I'm not prepared to share that with you yet. But a lot of great things happening at Hope Resource Center and through our partnerships, and we could not do any of that without your support and without you standing with us as we love and serve this city. So thank you so much for doing that. If you want to hear this podcast and other shows like it, you can investinghope.com. You can find the blog and the podcast there. Also on iTunes, you can subscribe to it. We would certainly appreciate that as well. So if you are a pro-life person and you like to hear pro-life discussions on a number of different topics, we would welcome you to join our team and listen to that. So thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you soon as we continue to serve and love the city that God has placed us in. Talk to you next week. Like a bird up from his cage, like a slave up from his shack. Like a dead man from his grave, like a blind man from his shadow.